Blog Talk Radio.
You know, Cherokee is teaching his grandson about life. He tells the grandson, there's a fight going on inside me. It's a terrible fight. You see, this fight is between two wolves. One wolf is evil. This wolf is angry, envy, full of sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf, he continued, the other wolf is good. This wolf is joy, peace, full of love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. Now, this same fight is going on inside you and inside every other person, too. The grandson, he thought about it for a minute, looked up and asked his grandfather, Grandfather, which wolf wins? The old Cherokee simply replied, it's the wolf you feed.
Yeah. Lord, it's so hard living this life, a constant struggle each and every day. Some wonder why I'd rather die than to continue living this way. Many are blind and cannot find the truth of no one seems to really know. But I won't accept that this is how it's gonna be. Therefore, you got to let me and my people go. 'Cause I wanna be free, completely free. Lord, won't you please come and save me?
Hey, 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 good evening, good afternoon, or good morning. It all just depends on what part of the world you are listening. Bienvenidos, que tal? Namaste, oki, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show. My name is Will Green, holding down a small one half. How can it be small, right? It's a half. Holding down one half of our hosts and duties every Monday and Wednesday night on blogtalkradio.com. Holding down the other half of our hosts and duties. Some call him the Lions Historian. Some call him Unc. I call him my best friend, my dad, Bill Green, and sometimes Daddy-O. What's happening, Daddy-O? Good evening.
What's happening, my best friend, my son? You know, it's like saying in a football game, they have a whole half to play. How do you have a whole half?
A whole half, right. The whole other half.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Doing all right.
I'm going to step out the way real quick so you can get your due diligence done, all right, because I have a feeling I'll be a magpie tonight.
Okay, a magpie. You're going to have to elaborate on that when we give out, you know, once we finish our little intro here. So at the beginning of So at the beginning of every show, ladies and gentlemen, again, the Greenhouse Effect radio show is live every Monday and Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/TheGreenhouseFX, a letter FX. So beginning of every show, we like to remind everybody a few things before we get going. The first thing, most importantly, we like to make sure that everyone has a pen and pad, a pencil and paper, a post-it note, a marker, the back of an envelope, a napkin. I don't care what you got. We just want to make sure that you got something to write with. If you have any questions or any comments, you might pick up something from our show, or you might want to share something with us. We want to make sure that you don't forget and write it down. You can give us a call, or you can interact with us directly, engage with us on the show during our live broadcast. One way you can do that is to give us a call directly. Our number here is 516-453-6094. Again, I'm sure you've got that pen and paper handy, so I'll say it again. 516-453-6094. And if you want to chime in with Dad and I, just press the 1 button on your keypad. Your number will pop up in our queue, and we'll bring you in, you know, as soon as we can. Don't take it personally. We ain't going to forget about you. Just, you know, we use 1,000 words here because 100 don't do. So that's why you got a pen and pad. Ha-ha. Also, you can engage with us on the Blog Talk Radio site using your free Blog Talk Radio profile. When you pull up the show online, just go to the chat room, and you can talk with us right there. Or you can also hit us up on the Facebook event page that you may have received an invitation for in the discussion portion of the event page. Yeah. I got you cracking up tonight, huh, Dad? All right. I guess I'm doing something right. I hope.
Yeah, man, you're right on, man. You're right on. Absolutely. Yeah. You do so. What do you mean? Yeah, you do something right every show. It just may take you a little longer on some shows than others. You got it, man. You're doing it all. Uh-oh. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I just wasn't sure if you have more to add with it.
No, that's all I got.
I was already prepared. Yeah, I was already ready, you know, magpie. I never heard you use that expression before. But.
Well, you know, that's you remember the cartoon show Heckle and Jekyll?
Yeah.
They were magpies. And all he did was talk. Yeah, there you are. So that's what that's all about. That's all. You know, no secret code, no deep revelation. That's all. I just used the word magpie. I did want to start out the show by paying homage to a friend of mine I grew up with, Richard. Today's Richard's birthday, and you went to his funeral. Mm-hmm. A few years back, and matter of fact, you're the one who told me that he died, you know, and I was stunned, absolutely stunned. You know, Richard was a very dear friend, well, as all of my childhood friends, for they were like all heroes to me, but, you know, Richard was special in so many ways. He was the guy that every mother wanted her male children to be like, you know, why can't you be like your friend Richard? that's all we would hear. So, you know, I used to tease him about it every chance I got. But there was much to the point that was being made. He was that kind of guy that was, you know, always straight. He was just always straight. He was you know, reliable, dependable, great athlete. You know, he was the guy that would always pick me to be on his, you know, pick up basketball games. He would always pick me, you know, and I know there were other people he could have picked, you know, but he had always picked me, man. And basketball was his game. So he got the nickname J.R. Radar because it's like he had radar when he shot a jump shot, you know. And so I just wanted to wish him, you know, a happy birthday wherever birthday is celebrated in spirit. Do me a favor, son. When I make my transition, I have no problem with the idea of hearing you and other loved ones saying, you know, happy birthday, Dad, wherever you may be. But don't say how old I would have been. You know, I don't want to think of myself as being, you know, 105 in a hole in the ground or whatever, wherever my remains wind up. You know, that you know, just happy birthday, and that's fine. So right, I just wanted to say, I was going to read something from my book, Mastering the Art of Failure in Relationships, because it really starts out with mention of Richard's name as well as my friend's friend. But I don't have the book handy, and I thought, you know, I can recite forever from my memories of my man Richard. You know, he was a very special guy, you know, and he had the kind of living situation that and that's all I'll say about that, you know. But yet and still, him and the rest of the crew loved to come by my apartment because there was never anybody there but me. You know, Mom's was working. There was no Dad around. And when Brother Jeff was in the Air Force and Mick was in the Army, I had a career to myself. Man, I was the dude. So anyway, I just wanted to give a shout-out to my man, you know, wherever he may be. And, you know, God rest his soul. Amen.
Right on. So, amen. Happy birthday. Yeah, I was going to tease you at Richard's expense and ask you, well, how old would Richard be today? Not expecting you to answer the question, but just to jab at you, you know, about
well, we were the same age. We were the same age. So he'd be, you know, 75, actually. You know, he was 17 days older than me, yeah.
Oh, so wow.
He would have been 75, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and my buddy Ab, you know, we were the three amigos. My buddy Ab's birthday was March 3rd.
Yeah,
Ab
he just had a birthday. Alive. Yeah.
Yeah, March 3rd. And so that was the one thing Ab always had to brag about. He beat Richard in one thing, and that was being born. So anyway, that's
now y'all had
Ab and Richard. Yeah.
Now, did Richard bowl also? Because Ab bowled, right?
Well, neither one of them could bowl.
Oh, okay.
That's why I loved
it
when we all went. We called Richard Thunder Thud. He never learned how to use his two middle fingers, and he always used his two end fingers. And there's no way to grip the ball like, you know, he would drop it. And it made this resounding, yeah, you know. So we called him Chief Thunder Thud. But really, none of us could really bowl back then. You know, I was just unique in the sense that I used my Uncle Harry's bowling ball, and I was the only one, you know, that actually had a bowling ball bag, you know, and shoes, you know. But they were my Uncle Harry's, you know, they weren't mine, you know. There's no way I could have, you know.
Hey.
Yeah. So that was kind of cool, man. That was kind of all of us jumping on the bus and I'm carrying a bowling ball. Yeah, that was kind of cool.
That feeling when you walk into the bowling alley with your own ball and shoes,
right?
You know, like,
right, yeah, man. And as a teenager, you know, that was a big deal. And back then, you had to keep your own score. There was no overhead thing that did it for you, you know. And my math teacher in grammar school taught me how to keep score, man, Miss Traylor. You know, we would stay after school, you know. Well, I would stay after school, and she would, whatever teachers do after school, she would push it aside and give me about a half hour to teach me how to keep score, man. So I was the first one who knew how to keep score. I mean, that was kind of cool, you know. I didn't have much else going on, you know. But anyway, Richard and I had a, you know, as I'm sure Ab and Butch and all the rest of the guys would say, you know, and they all would say he was their best friend. You know, that's kind of how it all went. And, you know, I'm not going to get into all that. I don't know how that goes. I just know what he was to me, you know. He couldn't play hardball, though, man, baseball. You know, he couldn't play baseball for nothing. But, you know, he could knock the hell out of a softball. But he gave up baseball after just one tryout. You know, he was, you know, batting cross-handed. And whenever he tried to throw from the outfield, he would throw these rainbows. And I was trying to teach him how to keep the flight of the ball low and all that. And I guess he just said, you know. And Richard was like 6'2". So, you know, 6'1", 6'2", something like that. So, you know, I mean, he was intimidating when he stepped up to the plate. And dudes would back up. And then after about three pitches, they'd move in. You know, so I could tease the hell out of them right now. Arlene is his wife, you know, and Arlene was from the hood too, but she's not on right now, so I could tease the hell out of them right now. She's not here to come to his rescue. And I would imagine, you know, his death took her heart, so I would imagine that wherever she is, she's paying homage to him in her way.
Right,
you know
right.
how it is when folks lose a loved one.
Yeah.
Anyway, somewhere out there, your Aunt Brenda, you know, is periodically when certain times hit, you know, even though Mick's been gone now for 8 years, and, you know, he lived, you know, a full life, but he lived the last part of his life in a lot of pain, the pain that you would just wish, you know, that he find peace, you know, in the afterlife where he couldn't find it in this life. Still, you know, loss is loss. And there are times when your Aunt Brenda, you know, really feels that in regards to your Uncle Mick, you know, or Ray's dad. You know, so anyway, I guess this turned into a show of missed souls, you know, amen.
Yeah, I mean, amen, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so here we are, and maybe that's if good is the word that can even be used at times like this, that is as adequate of a segue as any in regards to what's going on with Ukraine and, you know, this whole theme of war, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you had anything you wanted to talk about, you know, Ukraine and Russia and all of what's going on across the ocean, you know. If so, man, have at it.
Actually,
there's something.
Actually, before we jump across the ocean, I just wanted to just give you a little bit of some Chicago news, and especially because, you know, this is something probably closer to your heart. So, in a previous show, maybe last year, we had a show. We talked about Mercy Hospital here in Chicago. Mercy Hospital was very close to shutting its doors for good. And they ended up selling Mercy to a non-for-profit organization out of Michigan called Insight. They've changed the name now from Mercy Hospital to Insight. But in this whole process, Mercy Hospital dropped down, kind of downgraded from a comprehensive care to like basic care. So, which means that they wouldn't be receiving ambulance or emergency care, which is kind of tough considering where Mercy is. And, you know, it's not a lot of hospitals in the city on the south side to take emergency patients. You know, most emergency patients have to go either west in the Evergreen Park area or further north, you know. They just announced today that they are taking ambulance from the fire department. So whenever there's an emergency or, you know, a patient, you know, needs immediate assistance, if they're being brought in by the CFD, the fire department, they'll take them in the hospital now. So that's, you know, that's kind of a big deal, just considering, again, where Mercy sits and the lack of emergency care that a lot of Southside people get. And like I said, because you did such, you know, a lot of work there, you know, I just wanted to share that with you and just let you know that was happening up here with Mercy.
Right on. Yeah, worked there, and Armand was, your younger brother was born there, you know, at Mercy. Tammy's lifetime physician, Dr. Michelle, worked out of Mercy. So, you know, Mercy had, you know, that side of the positive note regarding it. And I hear what you're saying as far as the South Side has always struggled to have some an adequate and continuous care, you know, to offer to people from the South Side. I don't know if Jackson Park Hospital is still open, but it was a big recipient of emergency care individuals. You know, that when I worked there at Jackson Park, I worked in a building adjacent to it for this agency that was like managed care. And it was the alleyway between the annex I worked in and the hospital. And I worked in the evening. And ambulances coming to Jackson Park in the evening was nonstop. I mean, nonstop. I mean, as one pulled out, another pulled in. All you heard was the alarm, the sirens, and all you smelled was that diesel. As a matter of fact, that's why I had to give up the job, because my sinuses just couldn't handle it. You know, I lasted for about 3 months, and, you know, I had to pull the plug. But, you know, like, I'm not too sure I wouldn't have anyway, because I had to carry paperwork over to the hospital through the alley and through emergency. And, man, every night it seemed, and maybe it wasn't, but it seemed like every night at some point I'd walk through and there was a young brother would be plugged, you know, blood, you know, family wailing, you know. And, man, I mean, it's just, you know, every night it's devastating to – and they also had a psych unit. So, and I had to go up to the psych unit periodically because of, you know, my affiliation with substance abuse issues. And so you got the wailing downstairs, in emergency, and then you got the different kind of wailing going up in the psych unit, you know. So, you know, that was Jackson Park Hospital, Trinity Hospital, St. Bernard's, Mercy. That was about it, you know. And then the one you went to when you broke your wrist, I don't remember the name of that one.
Little Company of Mary, yeah, but that's in Evergreen.
Yeah, that's the part. Yeah, that's in Evergreen, right. That's, you know, so that's, you know, that's the southern western tip, right? You know, so that's good news. That is. That's good news to hear that they did stay open, you know, and that's what advocacy would do. That's what community work would do, you know, because there was a big outcry. You know, the folks just didn't roll over and play dead. You know, and maybe that had a lot to do with, you know, bringing what was the name of the company? Agency?
Insight. It's Insight now. Insight. Yeah. That's the name of the hospital now.
Yeah. You know, it was kind of weird when I worked there. Mercy had a big banner outside that said the hospital for the community. And right across from Mercy was Stateway Garden. They couldn't get into Mercy, you know. Most people who didn't, you know, there was a time when anybody could, but managed care changed all that. So people with green cards, you know, that was public assistance cards, they couldn't get in. You know, people with no coverage, they couldn't get in. You know, and even the people working in the addictions unit where I worked, they had one, what they call charity bed, but you can imagine it was always full. That was people who had no coverage, but only the people with insurance could even get into the addictions unit. Now back when I first started, you know, they took what they call P3s, and it was a particular type of public aid. And I had many occasions where I went down into emergency to be somebody down there, and they were there because maybe they, you know, had a DUI crack up, and, you know, they were like oozing from every orifice, you know. And we would go down, especially if it was DUI related, we would go down and say, you know, we got a unit upstairs. If you're motivated, you know, to maybe consider treatment after they patch you up, And more than once, you know, a dude with tubes coming out of every opening would be able to say, "Oh, I'm okay. Oh, I had a couple." So, you know, I'm sorry, man. Sometimes you got to laugh to keep crying, you know. But as often, we would back when I first started, we would get folks in, and they would come through emergency, and we'd get them started on P3, so their coverage would be paid, and it would keep them in the unit, and it would be taken care of before they left. So that was the good side of it. But nevertheless, you know, I'm stepping outside of my selfish remembrances. I'm glad to hear that that it was saved, so to say. Right on, man. That is good news. Amen.
Yeah. I thought you liked that. So before we start talking about the
world. Shout out to Sue. Right on. Yeah. Okay. Good to see her in the chat room. Hey, Sue.
Buenas noches.
Yeah, that's what I said. What's up?
Hey,
okay.
Don't get me started.
Please, because most people don't speak Spanish on the thing. They won't know what the heck you're talking about.
Better learn it.
Okay, man. So.
Better learn it.
Well, okay.
Training day part. Come on, man. Work with me.
All right. So where you at? As far as anything you wanted to holler out as far as Ukraine was concerned?
You know,
I don't really have anything to talk about. As far as not directly, I do indirectly, but if there's, you know, some insights, some thoughts, you know, some, you know, political statements, whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
have at it, man.
Last week, we talked a little bit about just how we were already noticing the change in gas prices and stuff like that. You know, I was trying to get a more concrete explanation on why this particular conflict is affecting our gas prices, because most of the oil we get, you know, is from Canada and Mexico, you know, so it was difficult for me to understand why the gas was going so high. And it's such another rabbit hole to go through to try to understand and explain it. But instead of trying to explain it and go through part of the show going through all that, what I just wanted to share was just maybe a few tips, if you don't mind that, just a couple of quick tips here as we continue to deal with the changing in gas prices. In dealing with all this, just a few things I just wanted to suggest. The first thing is to find a way to track gas prices. Now, I say this because I use an application or app on my phone called Gas Buddy. And there's other apps like Gas Buddy. There's a Gas Guru, and I believe AAA has something as well. And what these apps allow you to do is to see the gas prices in particular areas. So you can compare these gas prices with these gas stations, you know, and it gives you the distance and locations. You know, so you don't always have to go to the gas station that you know around the corner. You know, you can look in the app and find some lower gas prices, and, you know, it might not be that far away. Or it might just be in a direction you didn't really know about. So that's just something to consider. The other tip is that a lot of places still take cash, and a lot of times gas prices are lower when you pay with cash. So as you may be budgeting your money for gas or something like that, maybe take a little cash out the ATM and just utilize that for your gas or something like that. It's not a whole lot, but, you know, a little bit can go a long way, especially if these gas prices keep going higher. And the last couple of things is I think one thing that we've learned in dealing with COVID and how we've kind of done things differently, you know, we've learned how to utilize delivery services, you know, so instead of, you know, still utilize it, you know, grocery stores, food and stuff like that, instead of going out, maybe it's time to go back to that and utilize these delivery services and order your stuff instead of using the gas to go get it. So that was just a few things I just wanted to leave. You know, that's some of the things that I do. You know, one of my hustles is as a delivery driver. So, you know, as a driver, you know, we'd appreciate the business. You know, I go to Sam's Club to get my gas.
Yeah.
So it's still under $4, knock on wood. But, you know, just some things to think about as we deal with these changing gas prices. So thank you for giving me that.
Right on, man. Good PSA. You know, good PSA.
Absolutely. Thank you.
And the thing is, you know, my people, meaning our people, you know, tend to not pay a lot of attention to the news, at least not the details of it. We just kind of go with the flow or roll with the punches. So not being up on current events so often, because a lot of folks from the hood don't have access to cable, don't have, you know, computers, so forth. They depend on word of mouth. So a lot of folks they're looking at, you know, gas pump wondering what the heck is going on. Is it a conspiracy in the hood? You know we are already paying. Yeah. Anyway, you know.
Right.
So, you know, and then again, too, you know, the points you raised were, you know, what jacks the prices up, you're right. We can get into all kind of dialogue around it, you know, whether it be Wall Street, whether it be, you know, oil merchants themselves. You know, we know somebody's getting paid whenever the prices get jacked up like that. But, you know, bottom line is what you said is like the reality of the time. Taking care to do whatever can be done to save a penny here, a penny there, and maybe not sit in the car idling while you're on the cell phone even. You know, turn
right
the car
on,
off.
Man.
You know?
Right off, right?
Yeah.
You know those things.
Yeah. Don't leave it running while you're running the convenience store in the hood. You know, just, you know, turn your ride off. You know, some people argue, well, you use up more gas when you start it back up. Well, maybe that was true back in the 70s and the 60s, but these bad boys now, man, you know, they don't, you know, they're so computerized. It don't, everything is fuel injected and so forth. So that's gone the way of the buffalo. You know,
yeah.
It ain't happening like that. You know, very good, man. So anything else you want to roll out with?
I just forgot one tip with the cash thing.
Yeah.
There might even be a credit card that you use that offers cash back or some kind of reward, like Sue has a card, I think that gives her like 5% or 10% or something like that when she gets gas. So check your credit cards and see if your cards offer you a percentage or some kind of cash back when you use it to get gas, just something else to consider. Like I said, it may be pennies and small cents here and there, but you add it up, man. You know, after a while, you get that coin jar, and you dump it in the machine. You kind of get a little money back from it. So I don't know if you know what I mean, but you know, and you save your pennies. That's all. Save your pennies. But that's it.
Yeah. Well. You know, it's that's not really it. That's a big hunk of it. Yeah. This is the residual or the residue or the kickback or however you want to, you know, the reflex action, whatever we want to call it, you know, from a situation happening overseas, where this is an example of, like it or not, it affects you. You know, now, I'm not one to patronize this, you know, meaning I'm not one to be patriotic around it. Like some people have, you know, said this is how you make your sacrifice for the Ukrainians and, you know, okay. But I would rather have a choice in the matter and then not have to deal with backlash if I don't particularly like, you know, what someone else is telling me. This is how I show my support without even asking me. It's like you're telling me already that I'm supposed to support it, you know, unconditionally in whatever way is dictated to me. And I realize that's, you know, it's a dangerous path to step off into talking like I'm talking. However, you know, there's some realities of my world that I've grown up with now for almost 75 years that makes me just wonder. And I'll put it in just the way I want to put it and then let speculation fall where it may. What does this have to do with me? You know, what's going on? What's been bouncing around? What has been in the news for the past 5 years, not just now? You know, what's up with holding, you know, the Trumplicans, you know, accountable for all that crap we heard for 4 years from him and his celebrated relationship with Putin when, you know, the Congress of the United States let that happen, you know. And, yeah, I know there was some pushback, but, no, he was put to trial twice. He could have been bumped out twice. He bumped out meaning, you know, pushed out of office, you know, with his impeachment twice, but it didn't happen. So all of his philosophies doesn't matter. People like, you know, people like, meaning those in our camp will say, that was ludicrous. He's insane. But yeah, but he stayed president. And so those policies, you know, and those, excuse me, behaviors and that camaraderie became the rhetoric that we're dealing with today. And this flip-flop, this inconsistency, this hypocrisy, you know, this way that this country has in a blink of the eye, changing its trajectories, changing its philosophies, changing its behaviors, and then demand some type of allegiance of ignorance from me, you know, like a sheep, just go along with the program, you know, and shut up about it, because anything said that is not supportive is unpatriotic. Like, I don't know what it feels like for patriots to treat me like I'm invisible anyway, a parenthesis, so to say. So there's much floating around in my head that things like gas prices, knowing, like where you are, you know, that it's already jacked up at the pump, knowing that it's higher in the hood, you know, where tankers, you know, bringing supplies to the hood, complain about the dangerous atmosphere that they're driving through to get there, which is part of why the taxes hiked up in your hood. It's almost like protection tax. You know, whatever, you know, all these things that people don't hear, really, oh, yeah, that's just, you know, that's just you talking out of your ass. It ain't like, well, it is like that in so many places in the hood where we're a discounted, invisibilized people that just continue to pay and support, you know, the very fiber of a government that even to this day is still debating the issues of voting, the issues of civil rights, the issues of Black history, you know. So, and having served, you know, in the armed service for, you know, a while, drafted, one of the last of my generation to be drafted, and really none of, and you pointed that out. I never thought about it till you mentioned it last year, that I was the only one drafted, you know, from, but now the other side of that is I might have been the only one drafted from my crew, but that doesn't mean I was the only one that served. No, quite the contrary, you know. So many of the other guys, you know, they volunteered, man. They went to the Navy, the Air Force, you know, the Army is really what the draft supplemented. Nobody was parceled out to other branches, the Marines or whatever, you know. That lottery didn't really happen during the Vietnam stretch. It was, the draft was really for the Army. And, I mean, like 99.9%, you know, was all about Army. But anyway, you know, I was the only one. But, you know, like even the far-reaching roots of that, or the Korean War, and actually in some ways even World War II, World War I, you know, and so forth, even going all the way back to the Revolutionary War, what the hell. The question has been unanswered to this day, why do we serve? You know, but nobody talks about it openly. It's always, you know, in hush-hush tones. Why do we serve? What is it? What is this blind allegiance that we have to a country that really does not have our best interests in mind? You know, what is this idea that, you know, uncompromising, you know, and that we go and we do. And you know what gets me? We go and we do and we come back to the same situation unchanged. But no one ever talks about that we serve. It's like we're invisibilized, even in putting our lives on the line, even in times where there isn't war, still supplementing the armed service, you know, in the event of war, always there, always serving. But the emphasis is never put on that. Now, I watch the Ukrainians, and I've watched the news continuously. I do that. You know, but I also realized this past week in watching the news, it finally dawned on me, because you've heard me gripe, right, about, you know, no one makes any demands from the athletes. How come nobody ever put them in the hot seat? What are your political perspectives? What do you think about civil rights? Now I see why. You know, it's the safety valve. It's the crystal cave. It's the place where people retreat to after having to deal with, you know, a continuum of news. It's like, I got my Lakers. I don't care if they lose it. I still got them to run to. I got my Dallas Cowboys. I don't care if I don't believe they're America's team. They're the ones playing tonight. You know, I got my Bears. You know, so what if they'll probably never find somebody called a quarterback to run the team, because, well, now they might, you know, Justin might just be the guy, you know. But anyway, you know, I got my Bulls, I got my White Sox, my Cubs. Yeah. I guess that's the value of sports. It becomes the place where people retreat just to find some respite, just to find some relief. But here I go again. In this country, we want to see effective change when things like what's going on in Ukraine are going on. Stop all sports. When things are going on, like, you know, what happened to George Floyd, what happened to Ahmaud Arbery, what happened to Trayvon Martin. Stop all sports. You know, let's, as a so-called democratic society, let's. What Trump's craziness and his involvement with dude out in North Korea and Putin, stop all sports. Stop all conveniences of escape. Let's focus on the situations at hand. Let's not give ourselves a chance for entertainment. You know, I mean, stop all sports. Stop all – just treat it like it's COVID. Shut everything down. And let's get a philosophy clear. You know, yeah, that's all right. People get angry. Good. We're all getting angry at a common cause. You know, people get angry. Great. We're all getting angry to create a common solution. You know, gas prices jacked up. Okay, let's deal with that across the board. Stop everything else that's going on, you know, and let's deal with the issues at hand. What is it that we need to do to bring about some type of balanced exchange of difference, so we can find an amiable solution to what grieves a part of the population, you know, to more extremes than the other part of the population. Let's find this democratic balance, you know, and democracy doesn't mean Democrat. You know, a lot of people got that confused. But instead, you know, man, in watching that news, I know what I'm seeing, and I'm seeing what I know. That there's a whole lot of white supremacist groups, there's a whole lot of white militias, KKKs and their affiliates and all the rest of them who are looking at these, you know, noble Ukrainians who are fighting for their own land, walking the streets, civilians, armed, you know, and these supremacists are saying, yeah, that's what we want to do to America. That's what we need to do to you know, take our country back. I don't know what country they want to take back. You know, I kind of chuckled when we were talking about Negroes. We said, well, there is no Negro land, so where did Negroes come from? Well, I guess they want to take back white land, but, you know, there ain't no white land. You know, so, yeah, it's a scary thing to know that a lot of those supremacists out there are really fueling their tanks and cleaning their weapons and saying, see, this is what we're about, taking our country back. We're going to have to do it like the Ukrainians did it. Except the only problem is they're trying to take it back from themselves. And I don't think they realize that. You know, we, meaning people of color, we do not dictate social policy. We only react to it. It's whatever they decide. That's what we do. You know, why we serve. It's whatever they're fighting. That's what we do. You know, whatever the situation may be, we respond accordingly. We don't dictate that. We've never declared war. You know, we haven't even declared war on our oppressors right here in America. We had a faction of it called the Black Panthers, not the Tank Battalion. You know, but it wasn't a war that they declared. What they did was they declared a time to be accountable for those in need in their community, did things like feed the hungry. They did things like follow the police when the police were making an arrest to be sure that it was a justified arrest. They did things like following their Second Amendment rights when they realized, wait a minute, you know, we can walk the streets armed in Oakland. Until, you know, the powers that be said, now we're going to come out with a special law that says you can't walk the streets in Oakland with a weapon. You know, it's what America do, not what America does. It's what America do. America just changes the rules in any way that serves them. So I'm real interested to see once the white supremacists take white land back, what are they going to do with what they took back, because it's theirs in the first place. So I'm not going to belabor the point, but I am going to just touch on it just a little bit. Hopefully I can, you know, touch on it just a little bit and move on to Wednesday's show, because this is going to be a carryover, no question about it. And it has to do with black people in the armed service, you know, especially in today's armed service. You know, it's 2.15 million black military vets, you know, 2.5 million, you know. 30.2% of active duty enlisted women in 2016, you know, were African American. 17.1% of active duty enlisted African American men in 2016. Okay, so you say 30%, 17%, what's the big deal? Well, you add it up, it becomes 47% of those in active duty were black people, you know, in 2016. 20,000 black men received training at a Marine Corps Montford Point camp in North Carolina during World War II. And now, you know, like that might just seem like, okay, no big deal, so what? Well, let's take a look at what the 40s were like. Let's take a look at World War II and what it was like here in America for black people, like who the president was. Who were the people in power, like in North Carolina? Who was the governor? Who, you know, what ran the ship there? Democrats, Republicans? What was the theme as far as, you know, equal rights, civil rights were concerned? These are the things that we don't talk about. I'll talk about more of this later because I see the clock is running. And, you know, I don't want to spill over into anything else we might want to do, especially if there's calls we might want to take. But there's things that need to be, you know, 21 African Americans received the Medal of Honor for actions during the Vietnam War. 21 received the Medal of Honor. That's a lot, you know, and the numbers reflect a willingness participate, and I'm going to get more into the numbers in the next show, but the numbers reflect a willingness to participate in whatever protecting this land was all about. So I just think that in some way, even if this is the only platform I have, you know, to have something to say about the far-reaching issues that concern me as far as black people in America during times of global unrest, then I want to take advantage of this little platform just to hear my voice. I didn't really lend my voice to much of what went on in the 60s and the 70s. My voice was just finding its note in the 50s, you know, and the 80s, you know, I just got my voice back after being in the ozone. Yeah, I just want to just take advantage of this time, and I hope you don't mind, man, you know, periodically of just lending my idea of what the voice of the unheard people of black America would be at times like this for fear of, whatever that fear of, retribution or whatever. It's like we don't have a right to say what we feel knowing what we have not received based on how we see this country swell up to go do what it does for others in other places in conflicts between them. Like you see Russians fighting with Ukrainians, but you see, you know, people from one country fighting people from another country who have a common brand of that ethnicity, you know, so it's them on them. But here it's us helping them deal with them based on what we consider to be what's righteous. But for some reason, that doesn't seem to extend itself to its own constituency. So that's, you know, I just wanted to thank you for giving me these 15-20 minutes just to say that, man. And I'll talk a little bit more about some other stuff on Wednesday, hopefully, and you won't mind. But thank you for giving me the chance to do that tonight. Amen.
Yeah, right on. Yeah. There's so many things to respond to, actually. Well, for me anyway. And I guess, again, that's just for another topic at another time. You know, you mentioned the white supremacy groups and this need to take back America. And, you know, we're right near 2024 and we're looking at this. Yeah. Anyway, I'm getting to the point is I'm thinking about, you know, Trump coming back and this whole situation and what this could look like with Russia. And, you know, then there's other things to consider, like China and Russia and what things will look like for here as 2024 is approaching. So I'm just saying there's just so many things that I'm thinking about and I'm listening to you. And it's not really a point to what I'm saying. I guess it's just something for me to look for, look at, or as sometimes my, as you like to call my conspiracy theory mind, starts shaping things in my head. I'm just responding to some of the stuff you were saying. It just got me thinking. But I'm not going to get too much into these theories. I'll just keep the rest to myself.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this ain't conspiracy theory. You know, this is the realities of the time, and this is political. You know, this isn't speculative. This is what's going on. It, you know, 2024 is going to happen anyway, but this is what's happening in 2022. You know, yeah. And I defy anyone, you know, to deny the realities of the time based on its impact in America. See, you know, it's past the time of muting black voices while America puffs up and pounds its chest because of its wonderful thing it's doing to be the defender of the overridden or the underclass. You know, you can't do it one place and ignore it in your own place, is my point. You know, I've been just tuning more into the history of the United States, the history of the United States of America, not North America, because that includes Canada and Mexico, but just looking at the history of the United States, you know, the history of it, not the immediacy of it. You know, that's not ever the focus of dialogue when the talking heads get to spinning their stories in the news channels. You know, if we start bringing back the realities of the history of the United States. That is, not America as those indigenous tribes knew it, but the United States as a conquering people who just took the land from those indigenous to the country and used it as the battleground to declare its own independence from its own motherland. I mean, the great hypocrisy of its own history. And even in the development of its Declaration of Independence, which was a declaration of war, and, you know, and its Constitution, which was, you know, in essence, you know, a Bill of Rights, you know, it never was intended to outgrow itself in such a way that those amendments would actually be required to maintain social peace. So we weren't ever supposed to be an amendment. As a matter of fact, that was one of the great fears, you know, that black folks would take up arms and come after white people, the powers that be, if in fact they were given freedom, you know, slaves were given freedom, they would, you know, take that freedom and take over the land. So the fear was, even in the developing of the Declaration of Independence, all men created equal, we have to be sure that we're clear about what we mean by all men, you know. So those concepts, we're not even talking about the 300-year war, you know, declared against, you know, those indigenous to this country. We're not even talking about manifest destiny that gave credence and value to the justification of the destruction and genocide of, you know, of the people of the time. We're talking about little bits and pieces of history along the way that include, you know, the birth of the Negro. That's so trippy. You know, this ain't conspiracy. This is a reflection of history. And the truth in it is, you know, what's up with America allowing Trump to tie such strong allegiance to Putin? That ain't conspiracy. That's concern, you know, or Fat Boy in North Korea. That ain't conspiracy. That's concern. And the supreme idiocy of that triad suggests, yeah, let's figure out a way to, you know, destroy everybody else and save ourselves and create this one conglomerate where us three sit at the head. That ain't conspiracy. That's concern, you know, and so Trump, still living in the fiber of consideration politically in America, that ain't conspiracy, man. That's concern. But it's America creating America's own issue while we sit back and just wonder, what is America going to do with us, you know, in the coming years? That's where I'm at with all this, man. So yeah. Anyway, Will, all right. I'm done, man. Thank you, man.
All right. Yeah, so many questions, right? So many things to look at. But, I'm thinking about Haiti, you know, the Haiti refugees and the issues they're going through. So now we're going to, you know, be talking about Ukrainian refugees, right? You know.
When was the last time you heard America talking about the Haitian issues?
There was about 300 of them that were trying to swim to Florida. They had jumped on the boat, and you know, there's a story right now about it, but yeah, we don't really hear about that, and they're still trying to get over here, you know, but you know, they can't get in still, you know, but again, it's, you know, what's going to happen with us, right? You asked the question. So, you know, what does this mean with, you know, Ukrainian refugees and, you know.
Yeah, but, what's the issues with the border? You know, hell, right. I mean, you know, right here in North America, you know, like, so, yeah, these ain't conspiracy issues. You know, you got a person in Congress who wants to rebuild the wall, make president rebuild the wall or build it up even more and name it the Donald Trump Wall. These are the issues right here on this soil where people who are supposed to be the lawmakers are chanting this idiocy. You know, this is what, you know, they amongst themselves we're not going to even get into the Marjorie Taylor Greens and all the, you know, and that young lady out of Arizona. I mean, you know, it's not a conspiracy. This is a concern, man. You know, this is these people are wanting to take this country back from its own. And all we can do is react to whatever the decision is in the outcome, because in the meantime, they're redrafting districts, rewriting voter right laws, and creating these situations all to their advantage, to the point even where if they don't like the results of the vote, they're putting people in place who could just declare that didn't mean anything. This is the person who we want to win, and this is where the numbers of votes really were supposed to go. This is what America's talking about right now. I'm talking about from Congress, the deal makers, the bill writers. You know, they're wanting to take this country back from their own. They don't want to take it back from us. You know, so that's my concern, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So thank you again for letting me have this platform just to express this.
Right on. Right on. I'm glad that we've been working well together. So, yeah, I'm just as thankful. All right.
Amen.
Nobody jumped in the queue tonight, so I guess we go ahead and, as you say, land the plane tonight. And we'll see what happens in the next 48 hours and, you know, continue our discussion with, you know, where you left off at and go from there. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me, man. You know, Adam, thanks for jumping into the prayer line, into the chat room. You know, your comments didn't go unnoticed, and we'll respond just, you know, exactly to your comment about, you know, gas discount cards. You know, that's also reality, you know, to contend with. Man, you know, that gas thing kind of touched me a little bit. It's like, yeah, now I have a car, right?
Yeah, man. Welcome. Yeah, why should you be so happy, right? Go on.
Yeah, right. What were you getting ready to say? Welcome to the club, right?
Welcome, yeah. Welcome to the party, pal. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so, man, I went to put some gas in the ride the other day, and it's like, that's all?
I spent how much? Like, oh, my God.
Yeah, this is all I get. I think I heard one ding. And that thing just kept going round and round and round, costing the money. But I just heard, I think, 1 gallon ding. It's like, dang, man, what's up? All right. Anyway, right on, Will. Love you, man.
All right, Dad. Love you, too. All right, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, this is the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show. We provide an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience a renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others and their experiences, especially when we share interpretations and feelings. So again, we're live every Monday, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, blogtalkradio.com/The Greenhouse Effect. I'm Will Green, and that's Bill Green, and we'll be here next Wednesday. As always, be safe, be blessed, and always be yourself. All right. Have a good night. And as always, amen. Take care.
Amen.